Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I would ask you to look at the prayer concerns that are listed. You'll notice that each month we will remove all the prayer concerns from the previous month and start fresh. And you'll see those that are listed there are from last Sunday. So please, if you have loved ones that you want to put back on the prayer list, please fill out a prayer card for us and let us know that so that we can add to our prayer concerns this month. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we give you thanks for this glorious day. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to be your body here in this church and in this community. We ask you, Lord, to hear our concerns as we share them with you, God. For we know that you hear our thoughts, you know our hearts, you know our needs, and you always respond. For God, we know that you hold us in the palm of your hand. We are so grateful, God, for Jesus Christ our Lord, who died our death and who rose again to give us life eternal. We ask you, Lord, to be with the sick, with the lost, with the lonely, with the hungry. We ask you, Lord, to be with the veterans that are suffering today from wars and fighting. We ask you, Lord, to give them a special blessing. We ask you, God, to be with the one whom no one else is praying for, as well as the one who doesn't think they need you at all. God, we ask you to be with our shut-ins, Angie Barker, Walter Cleveland, Jane Claire Culverhouse, Jesse Saint, Irene Sale, and Lois Wilson Boyd. We ask you to give them a special blessing today. And God, we ask you to be with our military who are currently serving this great nation. Give them strength and guidance every day. Give them courage. Give them determination. And watch over them. God, we ask you all these things and more, knowing that you are our God and that you hear us and that you love us. And we are so grateful. In the name of Jesus Christ, we boldly pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If our children will come down forward to see Miss Kathy, do we have any sparklers in here? Come on down, sparklers.
What war is? Luke? When you fight. You have anything to add, Peggy?
We talked one time in Sunday school about bullying, and sometimes people bully each other. It's not nice. But then sometimes groups bully each other, and then sometimes states or countries. And back in 100 years ago, over 100 years ago, about 104 years ago, countries bullied countries. And they got so mad at each other, it seemed like every country wanted to jump in and fight with somebody. And they called it a world war because it sounded like, and it felt like, the whole world was mad at each other. And countries were fighting, and they decided, we're so angry, we're going to fight any way we can. And they put airplanes in the sky, not really big airplanes like we have now, but smaller airplanes. And then they said, how else can we fight? And they put submarines under the water. How else can we fight? Well, we'll just walk around and fight with each other. If we find somebody on the ground, we'll just fight them, beat them up, and maybe we'll even kill them. War is not what we want in this world. And so we need superheroes, and they would be embarrassed at being called superheroes, but I think they are. Superheroes who go wherever people are fighting to defend our flag right here and our country. And 100 years ago, right now, on November the 11th, at 11 o'clock, 1918, people brought an end to World War I. And they said, oh, that was horrible. That was such an awful war. We should never have any more wars again. That was so bad. That's going to be called a war to end all wars. Have we had more wars? Yes. Yeah, World War II, and we're fighting a war now. And I want those to stop, don't you? It's a horrible, horrible thing. And we want peace. And the best way that we can have peace is how? We've talked about it a lot, you guys. And wave the flag and love. That's exactly right. Jesus is going to be born again. We're going to celebrate the celebration of his birth in just a few weeks through Advent and Christmas. And there was one thing that he was called that we need to let him be. He was called the Prince of Peace. You are so smart, Luke. Thank you. The Prince of Peace. Do you want to say that word with me? And I want you to say it like you mean it. Say, peace. Can you say that? Peace. And let it just wash all over your body. Let God touch your heart with the idea of peace and loving one another so that we will never have war again. But years ago, when World War I ended, at this very moment, 100 years ago, they said that people in the streets were dancing and celebrating, but the men who were still fighting the war were sitting there with their guns, staring straight ahead because they just couldn't believe that peace was finally there. They had fought for 4 years, 3 months, and 2 weeks, and you never knew what was coming at you, but that's how long they fought, and it was a horrible time, and we want to pray for no more wars. 10 million people were killed in that war. That's a number I can't even imagine how big it is. And 20 more million were injured in that war. We just can't live like that. So we need to let Jesus, the Prince of Peace, come and rule in our hearts. Let's pray that he will. Dear God, we ask you to thank you for sending Jesus. We ask you to help us see him as the Prince of Peace. Let us remember that today a miracle happened. Whenever a war ends, it is a miracle. Whenever men and women go and fight in honor of our country, it's a miracle. And we thank them so much. We pray for their safety. Those who are fighting today, we pray for their safety. And we ask you to help us observe peace in our hearts so that there may peace be peace.
you, Kathy. If our ushers will prepare to come to receive this morning's offering and our acolytes, I'll need two of you. Let us pray. God, we are ever grateful for all that you do for us. Receive these gifts, Lord. Let them be used and multiplied for your kingdom, the growth of your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, in the stillness of this moment, we ask that you would open our ears, our hearts and our spirits to receive yours. We ask that as your word is read and preached, that it will be a word of truth, a word of encouragement, and a word that will help us continue to be changed and transformed into the people that you are calling us to be. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds together be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. We are still in the book of Ruth. Ruth has gone to work in the fields to glean. What does glean mean? Glean means that the harvesters have already gone, and she is trying to see if they left anything.
Leftovers.
The leftovers. That's exactly right. So she is going gleaning in the fields. By the grace of God, the field she goes to belongs to a man by the name of Boaz. And by the grace of God, Boaz is a close relative of Naomi. He notices Ruth right away and instinctively makes sure that she gleans enough grain. And Ruth responds with humility and gratitude. She acknowledges her own unworthiness and accepted the grace offered. How often do we receive the grace of God and we turn it away? How often have we received the grace of somebody doing a kindness unto us and we put up a hand and say no? Something for us to think about. Our scripture today is Ruth chapter 3, 1 through 5, and chapter 4, 13 through 17. Join me in reading our scripture for today. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." Then in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You have to know a little bit of background, and many of you probably already know some of what I'm going to share with you about what was going on in that day. When a woman married a man, he had ownership of their land, their property, whatever they had, he was the owner. And so when he died, all of that would be left, but the woman could not take control of that. She had to either marry his brother or one of his brothers, or somebody that he was kin to, a kinsman. We would probably think of it as a cousin. Okay? So this was the situation. When Elimelech, say that fast three times. When Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons left Bethlehem to go to Moab, they left their property there. And when Elimelech died, it was given automatically to Mahlon. He must have been the firstborn. When Mahlon died, it was left to Ruth. But Ruth had no power over that. And Naomi knew all of this. And so Naomi has been praying to God and asking for a sign or something to help them to figure out how they were going to take care of that property and be taken care of individually. So kinsman redeemer is how Boaz is known. For because of the laws of Israel, the closest kinsman has the right to marry the widow of the man who has no brothers. He is known as the redeemer because he saved Ruth and Naomi from a grueling life of groveling for their livelihood. Now let's think about it. Here, Ruth is a foreigner, right? She doesn't know exactly how to do things. But she is very obedient. Hear that word, obedient to Naomi. And Naomi tells her, Ruth, cleanse yourself. This was a custom in the day. You were to cleanse yourself. She tells her to anoint herself with oil. That means to put on some perfume to make you smell good, but not too much. She tells her to put on fresh clothes. Put on your Sunday best. And she obeyed Naomi, who knew the best way to approach Boaz was to lay at his feet. Because when you lay at his feet, that was a marriage proposal. She promised to obey Naomi's instructions, obeying and doing, and she submitted to Boaz's plan to talk with the other kinsmen. Because you see, in their case, Boaz tells her there's a kinsman who is closer in relation than I am. And so he has to go to that kinsman and he has to say, here is the land of Elimelech. And here is the daughter-in-law of Elimelech, and you have the rights to them. And what did the kinsman say? I'll take the land, but I don't want the woman. Sounds just like a man. Just kidding. So, Boaz said, no problem. I got it, dude. So, Boaz takes on Ruth and the land. All is well. Naomi's empty heart is filled with love, and then the bundle of this newborn baby boy. How many of you remember either holding your child for the first time or your grandchild for the first time? Holding this little bundle right here. Remember how that felt? It was probably the best feeling ever. 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 And for one who's been through everything that Naomi's been through, she lost her husband, her sons, she had to move twice, she's back in her own country, and here is this baby boy. What a celebration. Ruth sets the example for us today to fall at the feet of Jesus and to submit to his rule of our lives. She looked away from her poverty and saw the possibilities and promises that lay ahead of her. It is when we serve others that we receive the greatest joy and satisfaction. We must want Jesus alone, for when we have Jesus, we also have all that he owns. Would you agree? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's not the gifts that we seek, but it is the giver. You see, we don't come to church, while it's a great opportunity to celebrate Veterans Day and to celebrate our veterans, and that's very important. We don't come to church for that. We don't come to church so that we can give money to the offering plate. We don't come to church so that we can see our friends. But we come to church to sit at the feet of Jesus. To realize the giver is not us. The giver is God Almighty. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus, our world gets better. Our individual worlds and our collective worlds get better. Dr. A.W. Tozer said, if God were to take the Holy Spirit out of this world, much of what the church is doing would go right on and nobody would know the difference. Let me read that again. I want it to sink in. If God were to take the Holy Spirit out of this world, I'm going to say out of this church, much of what the church is doing would go right on and nobody would know the difference. Now, folks, if that's the case, we're in a mell of a hess. Aren't we? We need the Holy Spirit's power in this church. Now, I know as Methodists, sometimes we sit very still and we don't raise our hand. Your pastor does, but you don't. And that's okay. And sometimes we can't say amen because we're in church and we're supposed to behave in church. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, the reason that I do an invocation to invoke and ask the Holy Spirit to come into this church every Sunday morning at every service is because without the Holy Spirit, this church will die. So we all need to be praying for the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's face it, if we just wanted to be a club, we could easily be a club, couldn't we? Hey, you do this, I'll do that, you do this. We've got nominations up here. You see, those of us in leadership don't do leadership because we want to. Necessarily. We do leadership because God has called us to that leadership and because we want to serve God. But some of us want to sit in the pew and look pretty. Today's the day you're supposed to preach, right? So you just have to hear it. It saddens me that I have several positions in here that I have begged people to take and no one will take because, oh no. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, although if it works, it works. But I am saying that we serve the risen Savior. Do you see that cross? Is there a body on that cross that I can't see?
No.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he has left a job for us to do as the church in the world. And that job is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to do the very best we can to serve God through this church by taking stuff out of here like these shoeboxes. the work that Jesus calls me to do, whatever work that might be. We are to sit still and let God have his way. I don't think we're to sit still. I think we are to be still and know that God is in charge. Not you and not me. Obed was Naomi's saving grace and ours because he was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. And in the line of David is who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. The true Redeemer has come. Here's your challenge. Really get alone with God this week. I can tell you that our Wednesday night prayer time is a very special time. But find your own space. And seek to release your life to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. Receive a life of more than obedience to the point of sacrifice for Christ and for others. You see, sacrifice is something that we struggle with, just like commitment. But if we seek to be obedient to God to the point of sacrifice for Christ and for others, our lives will be changed. Amen? Receive a life of more than everyday life, but new life in Christ. Receive the instructions of the Bible for your life and my life. And be covered. You see, when Ruth went to the threshing floor and uncovered Boaz's feet, she laid at his feet. This was not a sexual encounter. She laid at his feet. And when he awoke and saw her there, she said to him, "Cover me with your cloak," which means take care of me. Take care of me and my family. So we want to be covered by the cloak, the wings, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that good news? I think we are. But we have to keep trying. We cannot give up. Let the example of Ruth help you to see just how amazing and faithful our God is. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is one of my favorites. It's God of the Ages, number 698. Would you please stand? Let me just say that if there's anyone who would like to join our church by a profession of faith in Jesus Christ or transfer from membership of another church that you have joined, please come down during the last stanza of this hymn. We're going to stand together. Do not forget the called church council meeting right over here by the piano after worship. Let's stand together and give God some praise.
Jesus, all mighty and peace on earth. go to love and to serve others as Jesus taught us. May God's peace surround you and be with you as you go. In the name of the Father, the Son,